one who's showing up on the committee for now, to start down route, the minutes first, and then, see, everyone's had a chance to look at the last two steps of the minutes. I'm sure everyone should have a panel of attended people who attended. Motion to accept the minutes from September 15th to September 23rd.
Second, with appreciation.
Okay. All in favor?
I love it.
All right, great.
Get right.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to move on. I'm going to take something out of order. If we can look down at number five. Resolution number 372, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 introduced by the county Lime Energy Company, Department of Public Works. Would you talk to the people, Amanda? If you can get a little background on the contract,
So, Lime Energy is working as a social contractor at Central Hudson on their commercial outdoor lighting program, which is a retrofit program whereby if you own your lights and your poles, you are eligible after your sites have been evaluated to enter into a program that replaces your existing inefficient lighting with LED lighting. And in general, the LED outdoor lighting uses maybe a third of the energy that traditional outdoor lighting uses. We have gone through the sites for the county, identified seven sites for this program, and about somewhere over 326 years that would be the same, saving more than 300,000 kilowatt hours per year. And this is pretty significant for a couple of reasons. One, that the annual savings from this is expected to be about $50,000 a year. This is just an outdoor lighting cost. This is not removing lighting. It's just, going to a more efficient light that uses less water to produce the same amount of light. The biggest savings will be at the law enforcement center, and we're anticipating over $25,000 a year just at that site in outdoor lighting savings. So the program is most of the costs are borne by Central Hudson. About 40% of the total project costs will be paid by the county, and that's what this contract is for. The payback time for that will be about 18 months. And after that, we will be just seeing those savings. And this comes in, dovetails just perfectly, actually, with the county executive's charge to buy RECs, renewable energy credits, to offset 100% of our electric consumption with renewable energies for 2014-2015. And when that executive order was issued, there was a call to planning, purchasing, buildings and grounds, and environment to look at making that purchase of those RECs, which is about $22,000 cost, budget neutral. And we see this as the perfect way to make that budget neutral. If you look at about a 24-month period of time, the first 18 months will be breaking even. So with the $75,000 cost, we're going to be saving about $50,000 a year. And then that last 6 months, we'll have recouped the cost of the RECs, and then from that time forward, it will be just savings in our pockets and reduced energy. So that's kind of the back part of it. There's another question on that part.
Yes, on the bulbs that are going in, obviously, like the 20-year bulbs they talk about.
They do come with a warranty,
How long do they...
How long do they last? We'll be reviewing that for sure, but it needs to be at least over 10 years. what we did when we did the last LED lighting retrofit, because most of the lights, a lot of the street lamps up on Golden Hill around UCAT are actually already LED. There's about 100 street lights up there that are LED. You can never see it down there. But we were very careful about specifying good warranty information.
So they last longer than 18 months.
Squaring away some information, documentation on the warranty. So that's an important piece of it.
Just to follow on that, that means the individual bulbs have a warranty. So if a bulb blows, your bill get replaced. We will get it replaced within a contractor.
And we did, you know, one or two went, you know, from the initial LED that we did, and then we replaced the other problem.
Yeah, that's great.
So just to follow up, one of the reasons why we looked at kind of the jail as the law enforcement center, you know, it's one of our bigger buildings, and it's also a 24/7 operation. It needs security lighting outside. There's a lot of prescribed kind of operations and maintenance that is very energy intensive at that facility. And in discussion that we had yesterday when we met with kind of as an update meeting, with you, Tracy, was how much energy building by building are different facilities use. So we were able to pull this together across this area with you all. And there. And this is a building by building 4 years, so 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2013. There's a I see Janet's looking at it, and you'll see that I broke it down in different scales later in the packet, but the first one is all the buildings. Our total combined usage was around 16 million kilowatt hours per year for all the county facilities, and you can see that pretty much consistently, right around 5 million of that is coming from the law enforcement center.
Is this total or just external lighting?
This is everything. This is anything to an electric meter. This is all our electric bills.
Yeah,
so this doesn't include heating and
the hell with record storage do you think almost as much as information service?
Because they're climate control, there's humidification and dehumidification climate controls in that facility. Their lights were actually geared through a lighting retrofit in that building.
Interesting.
But humidification, it's not lighting, it's climate control,
not really
the energy.
But I'm actually also have a key, obviously the Golden Hill Healthcare Center is in this data set, which we no longer have that usage, so that's a cost about 3.5 million kilowatt hours. So Tracy, the data that we gave you yesterday, you had asked for the data on the RECs that you provided yesterday, the total is about 12 million kilowatt hours. So this is this data minus the Golden Hill complex.
And the REC is assumed usage for Flatbush without the
energy. Right, because obviously the 300 Flatbush building, the system is mothballed because when there's no operation going, it just makes it electricity.
Can I ask, why is the West
Coast's
old Ulster County Jail, why is that so high?
There's also a freezer unit in that 20 years.
And it's electric heat, so they were heating it for any other purposes in that 2010 year.
But look at 2013, I mean, it's still at
150. Yeah, there is a large freezer unit that's used. This is food pantry type storage, things like that. There are some uses for that.
Where is that? I don't recall.
It's behind Golden Hill, yeah.
Oh,
there are some operations that still happen. Right.
So what is it used for?
There's machine store there. There's some office space down here. I know that there's a large freezer that's operated there as well too. So.
Along those lines, looking at all this, which is is there anything that that pops out that speaks to overall abnormal usage or opportunities within each particular category to what to do.
Certainly the law enforcement center is still a focus of ours, and Amanda's done a tremendous amount of work. In addition to the parking lot, but actually, you'll notice that as you review the executive budget, that we did put some programming in there to address, you know, additional lighting sensors. We have a capital project to replace all the lighting sensors with switches with lighting sensors to help reduce that 24-hour draw on a lot of places.
And you have to be very hard to retrofit that building because it's relatively new. So there's certain equipment, you know, especially HVAC equipment, that is nowhere near the end of its useful life. So you have to look for things that are going to yield a particularly good energy benefit. Lighting tends to be one of those things. So that's why we're looking at sensors, which is just not using lights, because when that building was audited, it was found that lights that weren't, rooms that weren't occupied, the lights were on, probably unnecessarily. And then outdoor lighting, just to maintain the lighting that they need for security, but do it with far less loss. And I have to say that of all the energy retrofit projects we've done, you know, a lot of times it's difficult to discern exactly what you're seeing and if you're getting those savings that you're anticipating. But when we did the LED parking streetlights on Golden Hill, there were a few of the streetlights that were on their own meter. So we were able to directly monitor the usage before and after the LED lighting retrofit. And it dropped to about 30% of what it was before with the LED lights. So I feel fairly confident that is it's a very straightforward way to really get a squeezing down that usage.
I mean, it is just mind-boggling. I know you had mentioned about the transition from Golden Hill being a big impact, but when you look at this list and see Law Enforcement Center in Golden Hill, their numbers, I mean, it's
just... If you want to lay out pretty much any functional area of the operating budget, the jail versus everything else, that tends to skip for school, right?
I think, you know, they were both 24-7 facilities. And that's where you can do as much, you know, where you're going to see your best return for any effort spent in really looking at energy usage is in a facility that's being used 24 hours a day, 7 days a week versus an office building.
Right.
So that's...
But a large portion of, not to pull out all that, I mean, I have reams of paper, the large portion, we all know, I think, the law enforcement center, maybe some of us would argue maybe a much too large portion of the law enforcement center is functional office space is not practical. I mean, that was something that became a very long argument.
And that's what we thought those cases are going to have a real impact.
Yeah.
It's almost half of the total 12 million kilowatts. I have a question for us. Does anyone know how many kilowatt hours? I just found out because I'm putting in a solar system, but I didn't know. So if you don't know, don't feel bad. But anybody know what your kilowatt hours per year consumption is?
Yes, I have two.
You do?
I have two teenage daughters. I couldn't imagine.
I'm curious.
Taking all 12 months?
Yeah.
It's 10-8.
10-8, okay. Mine is about 5, it's about half, but it's, you know, it's a smaller house and all of that.
Yes,
you need to know that to purchase a solar system because they will allow you, I think, maybe 20% more, 10% or 20% more than what you use. That's how you size the system. I know that's on the side, but it's relevant. Check your bill. It's an interesting, because I never looked at that. I looked at the dollars. I looked at the price.
How do you compare to your most efficient neighbor?
You have to check that.
You get your little report, though.
Yes.
I think this is all just fantastic.
And I also had
describe that. I know that the manager, he invited Amanda to attend the next Climate Smart meeting. And she intends to bring the energy audit and go through in a lot more detail.
Yeah.
So really this, with a lot more backup and discussion, we've successfully done a lot of retrofit projects and had some success. So she'll detail that for the committee, and certainly anyone's welcome to go to that. But, anything we provide there, we're happy to provide it to the community.
This is one layer, but electricity is one layer, and then fuel use, natural gas, LPG, fuel oil, gas and diesel and vehicles, and these all add into our total energy footprint.
And one that leads into something that we discussed yesterday is, and I'd like to talk to the committee about setting a date. Crystal will reach out to all of you. It'll mean two meetings in November, but Ken and Amanda have agreed to come back for basically a special meeting to brief us on the energy initiatives and improvements contained within the budget. Some of them aren't so easy
it would be
great, and I just want to say I appreciate the dialogue. I appreciate seeing you. I also appreciate that you want to get home to your family, and I'm so grateful for your time.
And it was a very clear presentation, the RECs, the 24 months, the 6 months, and then that's how we're going to get, in my opinion, that's how we're going to get to a green energy economy, is with good data, good understanding, careful economics. We absolutely can make this transition. And the savings on this in kilowatt hours.
So 380,000 kilowatt
hours. 280,000. Yeah. So he's got 10, I've got 15. We're saving 380,000 kilowatt
hours. The press release said it was the energy required to
40 something houses.
Right? 49 homes. We'd just be saving the energy we usually require 49 homes.
Yeah.
So, just in lighting.
If we can leave this, and Amanda, you're free to go, Ken, happy to take it on, unless Rich said he'd be about 15 minutes late, but since one falls on the next, if we could talk about the RECs and let everybody have a little more detail. I distributed what you gave me just for the sake of it. Oh, yeah, first. Let's go on. Sorry, motion. I just need a motion for discussion.
So moved.
Okay, are there any more questions for Amanda?
I'd just like to say one thing, is this program available for industry as well?
Mm-hmm.
It's available to municipalities?
Yes.
And are we amenable to an amendment resolution that asks that we disseminate this information to others with a recommendation?
I don't think we need a resolution. I think the committee could get together with Amanda and get the information and send it.
And I have a couple paragraphs that I shared with EMC, with the County Environmental Management Council, and then I've also, Kingston had expressed interest in that whole great situation. So I have kind of a template of that, a little...
First of all, that you can, in fact, when Amanda was scoping this and identifying all of our potential opportunities, obviously the college was one that jumped up on our radar screen in a very large parking lot, and we found that they had already purchased and upgraded the LEDs with no subsidy, which made no sense to us. So,
if we had a database about major employers and that could be
that we were also weighing, is this something that we do next year as part of a capital project, or we just do it this year with available dollars? We made that decision because this is a limited pool of funds. So next year, the county got in this round of funding, so we made some strategic choices.
And
the potential
doesn't change the program.
Right.
The Climate Smart Committee is sort of taking on a lot of the energy stuff, and that's going to involve all of the towns, including New Paltz Town and Village, Sauterage, right now Rosendale,
I think Woodstock, even though they don't have a climate smart task force, it's going to send a representative. And ultimately, we want it to include all of the towns and cities, you know, villages, to have representation so that it can be a coordinated countywide effort to reduce our energy usage and to generate it increasingly for renewables.
I would suggest, though, that having said on the town board that sometimes you get communications from environmental groups asking you to do things that don't necessarily make economical, practical sense to do. They're the right things to do, but it's just not there. And so it was for that reason that I was thinking that a county government itself sends something to a sister government or a child, you know, whatever the relationship is you want to say, it might be viewed in a different light than coming from an environmental
I know that, you know, so one of the things the county executive always emphasizes to us is the, you know, that balance between fiscal and social responsibility. And I think this is an example of what you can do. And again, there's no reason why any other municipality in the county couldn't do RECs and offset those costs the same way that we did. So certainly there's a lot of things that we've accomplished here that you know, we could share, and I think we'd be open to do that any way that you thought was appropriate.
And I think we should do it government to government, my own feeling. In addition to all the good stuff that Climate Smart Committee does, maybe Climate Smart Committee be prodding and say, hey, the county did it, and look at the results that they expect. And
yeah, I mean, the RECs are so affordable right now. Just imagine if everybody could say that 100% of our energy, municipality-wide, is coming from renewable energy.
Right.
What a statement that would be.
Maybe I can get together with Amanda, Ken, either or both of you. We can draft something coming from the executive's office and the committee, educating municipalities on what great work has been done here. Just even opening our eyes.
You know, but Chair Shooting, just yesterday, Amanda and I spent some time with Tracy is chair of the committee and Amanda Jo is chair of the climate smart community. So kind of, you know, there's so many things that we have on the drawing board and working on, and that we think have a lot of promise for the county. And it was a good chance to have a dialogue, and I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I look forward to doing it again. And any other members that want to participate in the future, I'd be totally open to it. So in fact, you know, we talked about, I don't know if the committee was aware, that we recently submitted a 4-megawatt solar project to NYSERDA for funding. It was an extremely large solar farm on the Coles Ultra Ramp. We did a partnership with the RRA and then a very large project at the college. And we were excited about it, and we were disappointed it won't be funded this round, but they told us you definitely have to resubmit in January. So that's a really good sign for this kind of a project.
Yeah, New Coles Landfill's a good site, too.
It is. And in fact, Amanda just completed, and we talked about this yesterday, they had the U.S. EPA come in, and they did a full assessment of our closed landfills and looked at how viable they are or not for solar funding. So, yeah, there's a lot of good work that's done. It's just things that kind of... You just, you know, one more thing on the pile, and these short committee meetings don't give us a chance to really go through a lot of that work in detail. Again, the composting proposal we have with the RRA has been a great partner on a lot of these efforts. It's really cutting edge, so I'd love to be able to kind of have that alternate forum where we could really take a lot of time, you know, when the staff here at the table isn't half asleep because it's 7 o'clock at night, we've been here since 7 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
But kind of go through and really just make sure the committee really has a handle on kind of the depth of kind of the stuff that we're working on, and again, there's things we all could be proud of.
One cutting edge idea that I think they might be potentially interested in too. When you put a solar farm on top of a closed landfill, if you could build in a stormwater collection system, since you got all those panels, rather than having it go into the ground, you save on all that leachate collection expense.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be cutting edge innovative.
Yeah.
And maybe
some interesting
funding.
Ideas that come to mind with that in terms of green stormwater management. Right on a landfill.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to it.
Okay, so on the resolution, we didn't vote yet, did we? On the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I know that Rich has been reminding me to ask about the rest, but since it ends up being a separate timing, but since this is going to be funding the RECs, can we talk about those for a few minutes, and then we'll give...
Please tell me what the RECs is. The renewable credit.
Which is basically paying for someone else to generate.
It would be impossible at this point for the county to generate 12 million kilowatt hours of energy. I think our goal was to, with this mandate of county executive...
By 2020.
It made the county executive to us about, let's do 100% renewable using the battery. So again, our goal would be to generate it ourselves, and that's why we kind of like the idea of these larger solar projects, because just the one we've just discussed would have generated about 25% of our electricity using our own renewable storage, which would be amazing.
Okay, so I just handed out a package that again, we start with the electric usage, which is just the big numbers, including the solar tracks and the others. You flip through, you'll see purchasing green power, which explains some of it. Ken and Amanda provided the REC offset statistics that we were looking at. We had been hearing the name Mega.
For our ability to piggyback off of contracts, we have an ongoing relationship with Mega, which is Municipal Electric and Gas Alliance, and it's spelling all over the state that participates through their pricing. And when we had first looked at the RECs, we had the Mega, updates constantly, and we saw this opportunity, so we originally went forward with Mega. By the next morning, when the purchasing director asked, he found a better deal that we were able to access, and that was through the information. We included the invoice in the contract. So we made that switch to the last minute because we found some additional savings to the county.
And just to clarify, just to make sure I have anything wrong, the invoice is for the first 6 months, and then you can see in the second page of the contractual that it would be twice that for the next year, which I'm looking at.
It's $23,000 that the manager had mentioned previously.
So $6,000 the first year, $12,000 in megawatts the next year, and again, we've heard the pitch about how it's going to be funded. And in fact, this is 18 months worth of rest, so we'll see where we go from there.
I think
but our funding is in perpetuity because...
I think that's where the county executive put this in place. I think it's also realistic that the pricing can change radically and to lock us in a rate where we thought we could really achieve a net neutral impact on the budget, which the wind energy contract does that pretty comfortably.
Okay. I have one question. None of this includes the community college, right? The community college has its own energy and its own budget.
Yes.
Okay. So, this is,
This
is 12 million kilowatt hours, which is, this number is in megawatt hours, so that would be 12,000 megawatt hours. But this says total volume, if I'm reading it right, and I'm just reading it quickly, is 18.
So,
for the 18 months.
The first was 6,000.
Got it. Thank you.
I'll read your board.
Okay.
I know that the committee appreciates a good cost-benefit analysis, but I really think it's not just one out of the park. And we haven't stayed with anybody.
Yeah. I don't think.
Don't quote me, but Alex Hente here.
All right, so any questions on that? And then we'll look it over, and we'll be meeting with Amanda and Ken again. I'll contact you about your schedule.
Looking at the solar for the next round. We are going to look at some other options as well, too.
Great. That's very exciting. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Okay. So moving back into the regular...
Setting a policy for county-owned diesel to utilize alternative fuel. Yeah.
It's something, are you guys going to do a press release or have you or something like that? On these programs that you just Oh, we can talk later. I'm sorry.
Well, we haven't publicly discussed the solar because we didn't know that we funded or not.
Can I pick Tim first, and then I'm going to get into that. If you want to be here for that, Ken, you can or not. I don't know that we're going to
have a special meeting. Are we going to talk about the policy details tonight?
Probably not in great detail, though. No. So, okay.
Or do you want to handle it as part of the budget meeting that we can help with in the budget?
I think we can talk about it as part of that, but I think that resolution is going to take, they're spoken to people individually, but more time than just this one meeting, which once we get to it, we can talk about the details. But we saw policy submitted by the executive, we saw the chairman's proposal, which was in the resolution form, and I just started researching, and in our meeting with Ken and Amanda, I started talking about some of the ideas that I saw coming out of sample policies the country over, but it's going to involve more research on my part and potentially a meeting with the fleet manager. So I think that we're on the right track, and that track is to form a policy and to put a policy down on paper. But to me, it's going to be more than this one.
Our goal with that sample policy was to usurp the deliberations of the committee in any way. We purposely didn't do it in resolution form. We did it as kind of concept paper, if you will. Well, good, this is your decision. Mm-hmm. We think we have some good ideas. We put them before you. And then, again, I know we discussed at the special meetings that we were in place, the fleet manager who was involved in that. Again, so we could talk about the policy and the pilot that we put in the budget. Consistent with the recommendations of the committee.
Would it make sense to do it as a part of, to take that one with the budget meeting? As one meeting, and then we could deal with the rest of our business. That's maybe something we could talk about and put out there. Doing the fleet management as part of the budget meeting. Depending on, I'll get a gauge with you how long you think the whole budget presentation is going to be, so that we can gauge time.
10 minutes. I just want to make sure that we plan out all the elements to the field. I think they're all, knowing all of you, I think the things you're offering is pretty supportive of. So I want to make sure you know what's in there.
Okay, so there's 10 minutes, and that makes sense.
They're not really apparent when you look at the big numbers. You really appreciate what's behind it.
So okay, all right. So I will be in touch with you probably tomorrow. Okay, great. Thank you. All right, so before we move on to that, let me bring Tim and Charlie to the table and get back to the resource recovery. Thank you. Sure. So, you want to update us on?
Sure. We're having a public hearing on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. A public hearing for the budget. That is every October. We hold a public hearing before the 15th of the month.
That be at the agency?
Yes, at 5 o'clock. That's for the haulers, for the towns, whatever. Now, in the past, since I've been executive director, we've never had anybody show up. So I would assign with the towns, which is, I assume, there'd be some supervisors there.
When you say never anybody, you mean really, truly zero people show up?
No, well, that's
it happens with times to us, too. Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
With our budget meetings, for sure.
This time we're going to be in the armory.
In the past, it's, we open the public hearing, we sit around for 15, 20 minutes, and then it comes till they close it. But this time, we're going to be in the public hearing for 2 supervisors, anyway.
I got a letter today. I forwarded it to everyone, and I mentioned it to you when I spoke to you, and I forgot to forward to you, but I will. It was from Supervisor of Shandaken supporting, it basically said supporting the supervisor's plan to increase the tipping fee by $2, and I read that as the overall tipping fee to everyone to offset, which is the idea that Megan brought forth at the last meeting. I don't know, did the supervisors actually go on that as a proposal?
There's a subcommittee of the supervisors that meets
to talk about RRA business and the contract and everything. There's consensus there. I don't believe that, I don't believe there was any, I'm sure there was no vote taken on it. Although there was a decision to write a letter, because I remember Gene Walsh was going to have a letter called Shipman to send, and I don't know if that ever got done.
Yeah, Carl Shipman came to the last board meeting, last agency board meeting, and presented a letter to the board.
Okay.
Basically, we're reiterating your idea, but I think it was appreciated that you come out raising the $2, extending the $2 from 103 to 105, because subsidized the pass. And that was in there. That last letter.
Okay, so I'll forward you the letter just so you have it as well.
Okay.
So your information is to the 12 board members as well, just so they have it in the interest of everyone having the same information that's out there. So public hearing you're expecting, and you're, other than that, we're just moving through the budget process at the moment.
Yes,
Dan, do you want to, while we have some material here, update at all about that last subcommittee meeting? Is it appropriate to discuss that at all?
Well, out of that and just questions that other people have raised, I do have a concern that if I understood looking at the budget correctly and a correspondence from you, that the board is only budget expecting, because you don't yet have a contract, you're only budgeting for the recycling for 6 months in the next budget?
We budgeted the service accounts for the first 6 months of the year, because that's the only thing we know. What's happening on July 1st, we don't know. So we had to take a stand somewhere in the budget, and we decided on July 1st we weren't going to service accounts after that point.
Right, that
means
the tolls and the
roll-offs
you're talking about.
Yes, the roll-off service would cease to exist. So,
was this a board decision?
Mm-hmm.
And is the decision that you will not, or is it that if the towns don't sign an agreement, that you will not?
That's right.
Well,
that's what it was.
But, so what do you do if the towns sign an agreement?
You
have to do a budget modification. Okay.
I guess procedurally the thing that confuses me is when Neon was last here, I had asked if the board, was asking the towns to sign a 6-month extension, and at the time the answer was no, that you could operate with a 6-month extension without getting a signed contract. So.
Correct.
Okay, so which is different than the previous extensions. The previous extensions had signed extensions, correct? So, and I understand you budgeted for 6 months on only of the operations, and that the continuation of the operations is contingent upon the signing of a contract, but is it literally going to be held to the, to July 1st? Like, if they haven't responded by July 1st?
They asked for 6 months, didn't it?
That's right.
They asked for a year. We gave them 6 months.
See, the way this is all the you're talking about, the contract expired at the end of this year. So it started July or January 1st. We didn't pass it. All towns to bail. Say goodbye. We don't need you. We're going to the fire center, whatever the case may be. So we said we were going to not put it in the budget for the following year. On service in the town, so that what happened is Carl Shipman came to us and said, look, we need more time than just to the end of the year. We need a year. And that was around May, the May time frame.
Mm-hmm.
We came to one of the board meetings. So the board agreed. The board said, okay, we'll give you a year then.
From that point.
So that's where the June 30th of next year came into play, because they said that we're going to have to look at other options, go to the private sector. They may be cheaper. If they haul their own, that might be cheaper, so they want to look at all this, so they want the 4 years to work. So, okay, we'll promise that we'll continue servicing you.
Has the board considered, because I know at some point I saw in writing, and Charlie, we talked about this at a meeting, about the whole idea of it's all or nothing. Is every town signing, or every municipality signing, or none at all, because the numbers were being run on every municipality signing. So does that mean if all but one municipality signed before June 1st. There's no deal. I mean, what has the board thought through and talked out all potential options in that kind of circumstance?
They did, and that's what we agreed to.
It's all or nothing.
But,
yeah.
Right. There's been some informal discussion about possibly staying on after July 1st, but you have to, this whole crux is what's moving is to make sure we're breaking even on the business, okay? So if half the town signed on, half the town don't for a 10-year agreement, then we would face, those numbers are all going to change, because coal charges are going to change. We're not going to have to buy as many boxes, so that capital, $85 a month rental, that may come down. But there are fixed costs that have to be determined or added into those equations. So if it's $103 a ton, that's going to stay pretty much stagnant. But what's going to differentiate it is the $62 pool and the $85 a month rental. Those numbers are going to fluctuate depending on how many towns have signed on. If we were to do partial.
That's within 2-1, how far away the town is.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll give you the two extremes. We looked at how much it was costing us to go to the town of Ulster, which is our promotion list, and every time we pick up a box, we make $28. Every time we go to Hardenburg, we lose $258.
But you don't go to Hardenburg very often.
No, but those are the two extremes.
I want to get back to this question of half a year, because the message that it's sending, I'm on the subcommittee, and the message that it's sending is that the agency wants to get out of the business. And I think I hope the agency doesn't want to get out of the business. The agency was created to solve the solid waste problem, you know, for the county. It's done it, although the circumstances are different. It's done it for 20 years. I am quite sure the towns will not be able to get a better deal from the haulers. So then the issue is finding a solution that meets the town's needs and the agency needs, which is why the $2 a ton sort of surcharge to help offset some of the recycling costs for the towns, because they provide such clean material, much cleaner than what the haulers are getting at curbside that you're then transferring into another vehicle and moving on. The bottles and cans are commingled, but you have good streams and a lot of education, a lot of oversight, and they, you know, they want to do that. So I would just ask that that you're real clear that the reason you budgeted for only for half a year is because that's the extension they were given, and that you can't budget for something until you know you have a contract or contracts. But I think the message, you know, people sometimes misinterpret data, and I think the message that's coming across is that the agency doesn't want to provide that service to the towns after 6 months. And maybe I'm mishearing, but that's, you know, that's the sense that I'm getting. And I think just in terms of communication, it's adding to the polarization, and it's not helping to find a solution. So I just want to give you that feedback.
I can't tell you a little history. 2 years ago, when these 20-year agreements expired, I went around to every supervisor asking for a 5-year agreement so I can buy boxes, because I knew at that time we were at the end of the life of a lot of the stuff. And I was basically told by almost all the supervisors that they had no interest in doing it. Matter of fact, I was told I wanted it, but they wanted nothing to do with us. So I was left. You want us to service you, or you don't want us to service you, I'm in a quandary here, because I can't very well go to the board and say, guess what, guys, we're going to spend these things for a year, but I need to spend $250 million to do it for this year. You can't do that. You need some sort of long-term agreement. So that was extended 1 year. That was extended 15 months to the end of this year, and that's where we are. I don't think, I think some lot is that there's a point where somebody's going to make a decision here. And if you don't want to be with us, fine, we'll shut the law business down. We'll move on. The towns can move on. If you do that, we've got to sign some kind of agreement.
To some extent, then, the polarization that you spoke about is coming from the towns. It's not coming from the agency.
Well, but I just want to be sure that you don't add to it inadvertently. And I know that's not your intention, and I think that your point is well taken about the effort that the agency has made. You know, ultimately, they can create individual or joint RFPs and see what kind of responses they get. I know that, you know, Fogarty's did. We know that. And they couldn't compare with what the agent, but the fact that it's now increasing, given the budgetary constraints that the towns are under, you know, they're looking for some relief. And
well, Madam, what happens...
Well, before Ken, before I have a question.
What happens if the locations where the RRA is making some money, like Ulster, say, hey, we don't need you, we can find someone else, and then they're left in a situation where the only ones left are the very expensive ones to be giving all the towns the options of opt-in or opt-out. Guess what? Those that are getting the very best deal are the ones who will stay in, and those who could do a little better elsewhere will opt out. And then, you know, like any budget, if you have more expenses, how are you going to offset it? We certainly don't want them coming back to the county and asking for net service fee money. And so the question that arises in my mind is either everyone's in the game or everyone's out of the game, because you set up a system where you're basically asking some towns to subsidize others because you're giving them all the same rate. And some of them getting a service that's worth a whole lot more, and some of them getting a service that's worth less than that.
You know what, Ken, it's not, in my opinion, it's not as simple as that. The county has always been partners with the RRA. As long as I've been on the legislature, we've had made a financial commitment to them. The problems of the RRA are a result of many years of lax oversight on the legislature. It's not good board members being appointed a lot of times. You know, whether you're on board, not you at all, manager, but there's been nobody so-called watching. You know, it just hasn't been good management. The county last year, whether it's flow control or no flow control, the county has now basically said we don't want to be a partner, because the county's not willing to invest any funds to help the communities out, to help the RRA out. So we've stepped back and said we want to kind of tell you guys what to do, but we don't want to commit any money or funds to helping you out. Now, we can say the town of Ulster is subsidizing Marlboro maybe and what we're saying, but the other token is they're getting screwed. Because 2 years ago, Marlboro could just go to Orange County and get rid of their trash, and what we're saying could maybe run down to Sullivan or Orange to get rid of their trash. Now they're being told, you've got to run 40 miles the other direction or 30 miles the other direction, pay more labor costs, more transportation costs, more gas, more wear and tear on your trucks because of this law. So to say, well, Hardenburg is costing us more money, they might have had a better deal with people in the past. And I'm not saying the people that were coming to the RRA, but the private people. You know, so my thing is, the towns, you're right, they don't want to deal with you, but the rates are better. And they can't afford not to deal with the RRA. And that's really the bottom line right now. But I don't think the answer is raising the rates. And I think, I don't have to words in your mouth, but you and Leon last month pretty much, I felt, said the same thing. I told Tracy this. I said, you know, when you guys have taken a position, I think the legislature's supported you. Not, you know, I haven't supported enough local control, but for the most part, have supported you. And I think I heard you guys last week with your concern with the elderly that can't afford the private pickup anymore. It's getting too expensive. I just don't think raising the price of the private haulers and the people that come to the house is the answer. I don't think that's what flow control the law is intended to be.
Everything you said is actually correct. The key question here, and I think you nailed it, is policy.
Does the county want to be a partner, or does the county want to be a partner?
Does the county want to contribute extra dollars through this system through the service fee. Why not?
And they're in this boat because of the county's mismanagement for until Tim came along.
But
before that, there were terrible decisions made, and the legislature appointed the people that made those decisions.
Right.
So at the end of the day, the towns are in the bind they're in now, not because of us sitting at this table, but because of the county legislature. They're in the bind they're in right now.
And that's the policy, which the county wanted to contribute.
Well, no, I agree, but like Tim said, we've got to make a decision. We can't, we're talking about it for years. Let's make a decision.
Yeah, and I think, actually, there's a lot of excellent, sometimes I feel like we're talking the same thing over and over, but sometimes you hear a new thing in a different way. Like Tim, what you said earlier about going to the towns effectively 2.5 years ago and asking for a 5-year contract when flow control was not in effect, to remind everyone. And there has always been, the RRA, Ulster County RRA, if anything, has had, in the public eye, I would say, a terrible reputation. Founded or unfounded. I mean, I just think that there's a concept that because of the subsidies, because of the net service, the general public doesn't understand how the refinancing of the debt went down, what it meant not to cite a landfill, how much went to each individual town to close it. The general public has no idea. For years, I remember seeing dump UCRA signs all over Gardner and Shongum. I don't know who was putting them up, but obviously in the public's view, you know, there's limited information and they just think of it as money. And I think, Rich, to finish that point, I think there has been a sense from different supervisors, not naming names, of very much so like, what's in it for me? What's the best deal I could get? Why am I going to resign when this deal is our contract's coming up in a year? I'm going to look for something better. But as we saw from Saugerties, and you know, I suspect it's possible that if and when they all go out to bid, if there may be very limited few communities that actually get a better deal. Saugerties' deal was markedly worse than the agency's proposal at the time. I mean, markedly, it wasn't like a margin of a little amount of money. But you, I think, Rich raised also an excellent point about the sort of the impact of flow control on these different communities and thinking, and you have to think, I think the message certainly has been, okay, here's flow control and now the county's out of it. Don't come back. And that's not the message from this committee. I'm just saying, I'm sure there's a vibe out there, don't come back to the county with any net service fee, no matter what it takes. Which there always was pressure on the agency not to come back with very much of a net service fee, which prior to your time, Tim, is what got us into this trouble with not replacing equipment, because there always was a tremendous pressure to keep that net service fee as low as possible, despite the fact that it was inflated by a terrible decision to refinance that pushed these funds up for a long time.
Complicated by the fact that we didn't have a revenue stream such as a landfill to help pay off.
And maybe now is a decent time. I'm going to circulate. I got me started, and Rich, you know, started last time, so I put together a draft for the past of a resolution. We're not going to vote on it tonight, but certainly can establish on yet another committee commission, whatever you want to call it, a bunch of it too. Looking at this, because, you know, it used to be that you only talked about a landfill behind closed doors, but Charlie, you've been out in the front, and Dan and I are both unafraid to talk about it. And this isn't just about a landfill, but this, it's a little bit of Rich saying, I'm tired of talking about this. We need to do something, and this is not going to be something that happens overnight, but I think we do have to become partners again in reaching a long-term solution. You heard even Carl Shippen last month say, we're talking about band-aids here when it's the bigger problem. And in terms of the towns, all of this, it becomes complicated too by the fact that the towns have gotten a tremendous amount of relief, and I can give the committee the numbers, the safety net numbers versus I asked him for the proposed increases per town compared to the safety net savings, but you want to say that the two things aren't related, and they aren't related, but they are about a bottom line of budgets. The towns haven't cut their budgets.
And now we have election costs to add in there.
Now we potentially have election costs. We'll see what happens with that.
So
it all goes to the larger point of, again, to me, it's not so much about these individual problems, and that's, in my support of flow control, it was about looking at a holistic system. So this is going to be something we're going to be talking about ideally later tonight, but we won't vote on until next month, but we certainly, not just one, we need the RA at the table with us to start discussing that and working toward a solution where we are partners, where we don't think of the agency as, now you've got your problems, you deal with them and come tell us about them once a month, because it's not going to work. We hear back from all our supervisors on a regular basis. The agency has, this is the one group that doesn't need to hear it, but the agency was created as, you know, a public service to, I mean, it's ironic to me that when we talk about recycling, I mean, the agency, and in reading through the materials compiled by Carl the last time around for that joint committee, you know, the agency, something we forget about with recycling, which you deal with every day, I know, is that the agency is the place of last resort for recycling. The agency is the place that our recyclables go when the markets are terrible. And the towns don't think of that way. Right now, the towns think of, as Manny, you brought up, as we give this great product to the agency, we'd have to run the numbers of what does the agency make on this product. And to me, it's not just about the numbers. It's about the environmental impact. It's about the whole picture of the whole system. And again, I'm passionate, but I'm preaching to the choir, because everyone here is obviously here and on this committee, or not on this committee, but sitting here as participants and observers, because they care in the same way.
Tracy, this is great. Can you email us?
Absolutely, yes, I will.
All board members, so that when we sit down, we've all got it?
Yes,
thank you.
I will tomorrow. And I might realize it's a draft, and so
please
the input.
I just want to be sure Vincent knows that we included the week of women voters. And there's a history to that, and that was the original
Citizen Advisory Committee,
thank you. It also had, like, Sierra Club, it had a whole lot of others. But the League has had an ongoing study group in solid waste, and they meet, I don't know how often,
monthly,
yeah. At the Gateway Diner, you know, rain or snow, or, you know, year-round, and they've amassed a lot of information and a certain amount of expertise. And the other thing is, they're sort of a neutral party. And I think just to say that the county exec specifically said that, you know, they, in their role, and I'm not exactly sure about the reason, but they would have of an honorary position, but they didn't want to actually be listed, and you know, Mike gave a good reason. I'm not sure I could repeat it, and I don't want to do him injustice. But also, of course, Tim, you would have an, you know, you would be there, but it needs to be that, you know, somebody from the board is one of the representatives. But we try to get it so that all the stakeholders have a say, and if it's well facilitated, I think we can come up with a solution that everybody will buy into. And that would be so good for this county if, you know, if we can create that.
It would be tremendous. And it's a daunting task. That's the issue. That's why I keep saying it's been put off for 20 years.
And I see that Ulster County Solid Waste Management Plan is mentioned here. Just to give you an update, I'm going to back.
Okay.
I think we also have Solid Waste Management Plan.
Yeah.
And just to give you an update, man, we still haven't gotten our comments back. So it's
been since December 2011. Which is actually good timing for this committee to meet as well, because my understanding of the plan, and from my fast, you know, glance to the document that I have, the plan, and we've discussed this, and my disappointment in this, but the plan is a draft in progress. It's a work in progress right now. But the plan does remove the idea of siting a landfill. It doesn't deal with that. And this would be a perfect time for this committee to start working, because if we're going to be making, I mean, I certainly will be making comments in terms of wanting that in the the plan and what at the appropriate time.
And actually, the legislators sitting on this table, you have two opportunities, because the way PUC wants us to, the way they want to work is rewrite this draft, they make comments on it, we address their comments, then we have to release it for public input, have a public hearing, and the public can weigh in on it, which is your opportunity. But then after we make those adjustments, it goes to the county legislature, and the legislature has to weigh in on it. And it can't be enacted without the legislature to vote and approve it. So you guys really hold up cards, so to speak.
I mean, it's one of the reasons, from my understanding, it's one of the reasons the agency was created, was to do that work on behalf of the county, was to create the plan on behalf of the county.
Yeah.
Clearly the county.
In order to planning unit for the agency. Yeah. Each county has their own planning unit.
I will email this to all board members tomorrow, to the agency as well, email to Tim. And then what I'd ask, besides how much I want to talk about it tonight, but what I'd ask is that everyone take time, I'd like to have it in the packet for next month, so that everyone take time to respond and give me feedback, proposed changes, and then we'll work through, we'll get the most solid draft for next month, and we'll adjust it at committee, and ideally put it forward to the legislature. There was some sticking points which I could talk when we discussed it, particularly with some of the way the appointments get made, and also the membership. I definitely want everyone's feedback on the membership.
Yeah, I was thinking to be maybe just a little more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if two supervisors are very interested, you need to say, let's just, you know, only one is allowed, so maybe be flexible to say.
And you know what?
A supervisor, I don't know.
Oh, you know what I did?
Yeah, or, yeah. Something like that. Just
yeah.
Like,
you know what I did at the last minute? But and so keep it in mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I had, right before I sent it to Chris, I had and 10 and 11. I had two more members, just at-large members listed, with the idea that they weren't specified, that they couldn't be anything from the previous group. So if you had two committee members, two legislators on ways and means that were trying to be on it, we have to work out then how those additional members will finally, I think it'll have to come to this committee first and then to the full legislature, in my opinion, in terms of appointments, but I agree with the idea of flexibility, just trying to keep it small.
I would think that this commission would be seeking some kind of consultant help.
It's possible.
Yeah.
The point where you resolve indicates that all county resources, so when you say consultant, would be ensure all levels of available municipal data tools, resources, assets, and opportunities will be made available for the commission and the public that direct input.
That doesn't address that we want to have a solid waste specialist who is familiar with what's going on in other areas. Is there a budget assigned to the committee?
There isn't a budget assigned yet, and we can talk about that. I mean, one thought I would have is that if this commission, if we form the commission, it sits down, and the commission very quickly says, this is what we're thinking, and we need to have a study, and we need to have an outside study. It's going to cost $50,000. Then the commission needs to recommend that we put in a budget line.
If they recommend it, we say no, then they're going to quit. Then the community will say, well, obviously the county's not interested in supporting the wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could write in there,
We'll also say, kind of, something ahead of time, right?
And you know,
no,
they
take you a step out of the budget
or something like that.
Yeah.
I think before we talk about consultants, I think one of the first things, if I were on this commission, one of the first things I would do would be establish communications with the DEC immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because my understanding from Bill Rabia or Nigel Ruffin that today's DEC allows 10-acre segments to start a land switch. It doesn't have to be an entire 200 acres. It's done in 10-acre segments. And that seems to be, that would be the first step to talk to the DEC about how we establish that procedure and who we have to talk to, and then a consultant could come on board. But I would first talk to the DEC.
Well, that's when you're talking about designing an actual landfill. I mean, obviously you can need some consulting help there, but in terms of how you're going to go about potentially
exciting and which technology is better than another technology. You can Google and read all the articles, but it's, before you want to take a serious step forward, you might want to have some serious technical expertise to give you an opinion.
I think that we can probably, at least in the early stages, and again, we could talk about this, bring in a certain number of experts to talk to us. In one draft of this, we did have a member of DEC on the committee, but I removed it because I didn't think a member of DEC would sit on a standing committee for Ulster County to discuss its solid waste improvement. But I do think a member of DEC would come to the commission and talk and answer questions and make a presentation and discuss with us. I didn't see them as a sitting member of solving our long-term problem. Agreeing to that, just to what extent I've dealt with the DEC.
Well, laying the framework out.
It's just not their, it's not their role to tell us what to do.
They're regulatory agencies, so.
But I do think, exactly what you said, I do think their advice and their participation in the same way that the planning department of this county needs to be involved at different phases. And I still, we put in mention of trips as needed, and we do need to put a certain amount of budget, but I think it would go a long way to convincing a lot of people in the legislature of what we need to do. And I also, we can mention the regional aspect, but again, I wanted to start at home. Like, we can encourage in the resolution regional communication. Once the commission has a sense, meeting with our neighboring counties to talk about, you know, where they see their systems going. But I think we have to start at home first. We have to get ourselves on the same page.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm really happy to see you on the list.
I know you will be involved, but I know I also know how you feel about your role.
I want to do the operations.
Is there anything more that anyone in the committee wants to talk with John and Kim about right now? Okay. And anything more that you need to bring up right now?
So how will we leave in the budget? Is it, if you don't mind, am I
going to... No, go ahead.
Are you raising $2 on everybody, or?
Before, no, well, no, right now the way it stands is $103
for everybody.
It's,
that was the original one a couple months ago.
Yeah, that's the way the budget sits. So for the only people that are going up are the towns and the city of Kingston, the municipalities. But other than that, it's $103 right this year for everyone that brings us the way to stay $103 next year.
And the public hearing is October 14th at 5 p.m. So they're still in the budgetary process.
And not at the armory. At the
RRA.
You know what?
You can leave the door here.
You're going to get a good turnout at this, I can tell. A lot of people are very concerned. I hope. Do you think the RRA office is big enough to accommodate?
Well, fire code plaque, whatever it's called, I feel it doesn't close, there's 35 people for the room.
Occupancy.
I know that we have that hanging up there,
and
I guess the town of Ulster
is
still in the
department
with that, but
it's
35, I
don't
believe,
more
than
35.
Is that 5?
Guarantee there's going to be a lot of supervisors there this year.
Sure.
They should be here, too. You know, talking to us, we're the ones that can...
Some of them came last time.
Carl.
A few of them came last time. Carl.
I don't see anyone.
Is this Carl? Jim, was it just Carl?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But
I don't see anyone from the private sector coming because we're not raising their rates. We're keeping them static, so I don't see anybody complaining over that. So I don't expect.
Is there any openness to the idea of raising the rate $2 a ton? I understand it's not in the proposed budget, but. I'm not saying double, I'm saying, you know, an increase of essentially 2%.
It might come to that, depending on what happens with the town. You know, it might come to that. However, we're trying to avoid it as much as possible. But I think that's the sense of the board. I'm speaking as one member. I think that's the sense of the board. And, you know, we are criticized right now at 103. We are criticized as having one of the highest tipping fees in the region. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so to continue to grow up with it, that doesn't meet the taste test, you know, really.
High shipping fee in region because we are exporting our waste.
That's not true.
Yeah, so you're around. Well, the closest is Albany. Yes, Colony. And pretty much, I can tell you, just for informational purposes, the surrounding counties, most of them, go to Seneca Meadows, where we go. So, most of them are shipping it out there. And that's the
what are the tipping fees? Do we know what the tipping fees in the neighboring town are?
Yeah,
you go
the Duchess is about 82 a ton, but they also get a huge net service fee from the county to keep running. I was told by the executive director over there, if that net service fee had pushed out a lot, their tipping fee would be about the same size.
And in your computer, you have a graph of all the tipping fees of this region, in the Northeast. You might want to send that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yes, you might want to send that to Tracy.
You were talking about that had that waste? Yeah, that was nationwide.
No, okay, that's right.
That was tipping fees.
But it was broken down by sections of the country.
Yeah.
Northeast, Southeast, you know.
I think
you'd want that, Tracy.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'm going to make an assignment for the League of Women Voters Study Group to get us that information.
And what would be relevant, too, is not just the tipping fee, but whether or not there's a net service fee or a subsidy, and
yes,
whether or not there's flow control. Those two.
And the other thing, if you want to throw another thing, there's also a user's fee, like in Rockland County, they have flow control.
Mm-hmm.
And their tip fee, I guess what the tipping fee is. But I know the tipping fee is, I think, somewhere in the mid-80s. But their tipping fee is lower. They ship in the same amount just like we do. But what they do is they have this user fee that if you live in a single family home, you pay X amount of dollars per year. If you live in a two family home, you pay X amount of dollars.
Which is what the Catherine Cahill study recommended.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like an ad valorem.
Yeah.
So what it is if you have this type of business, you pay X amount a year. And what happens is the county collects that and they give it to the RRA. And then based on that, they lower the tipping fee.
And if you're a not-for-profit,
you're the same amount. That was the whole idea. If you have a two-family house...
Level the playing field, that's right.
Yeah, they,
if you have a two-family house, so I have why would you pay more per ton? And somebody
I think the difference is that in that...
Per ton.
No.
The tipping fee rate is the same for everybody. But they have this user fee for using the system.
And the Cash and Cahill study actually also recommended, I'll have to review again, it recommended that user fee, but in addition, a fee that could be assessed for the vacant and not-for-profit land, so that everyone was captured, just at a lower rate. It's what your father was proposing.
Yeah.
A different, it wasn't a district. Cash and Cahill looked at a district as well, but
right,
it was a user fee.
But some people that are non-users
would pay
at least a little bit.
Right, but you are through your property taxes too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tim, who did you send out the user fee?
Rockland County. Rockland. Yeah. They actually focused on four things, believe it or not. They have for MSW, C&D, recycling, and yard waste.
Does Oneida Herkimer have it for, it does have it for recyclables, but do they have it for C&D and yard waste too?
Not yard waste, but C&D is at MSW, F3.
I would love to see that someone run the numbers on what flow control on C&D and regulated recyclables would do, like what the full picture of it would do. That's something that commission has to look at in terms of the end result, the economics of it, to show what the products coming in would bear, what it was. I mean, when we keep hearing about the downside of it, but how would it impact the agency in terms of the bottom line as a revenue stream too?
I can tell you that we're very unique in this county in that it's only MSW, typically MSW, C&D go together. And I don't know when it was being, the amendment was being written, that was discussed, and people were wondering why do you separate it. Even my peers were asking about it.
Why did we separate it?
CND was intentionally taken out because I think the powers at the time, I heard discussion that they didn't believe they would have the votes in the legislature passed. Is where it came down to it, because there's some CND. There's a CND transfer station like that in Marlboro. There's Taylor, who takes it. So they thought that if it were SWM CND, the votes wouldn't be there if they took the CND out. Plus, as an environmental type person myself, I expressed some environmental problems with it because I said, you've got Taylor down there that's pulling everything apart and recycling it. I don't have that ability. So you know what's going to happen if you send it all to me? I'm going to mix it all together with the MSW. It's going to be put in the truck as it's necessary. So to me, that didn't make sense.
I remember you saying that at the time, but that speaks again to the larger problem of us moving the whole system. You know what I mean? If we are going to take control of the whole system.
But the private sector can take some of the system off our hands. There's nothing wrong with that either. We could do it.
But it's not taking it exclusively. And the teller doesn't take everything.
If people pay them, they will.
If people pay them, they will.
But if we have a CND facility, then we would.
Can we talk to Taylor about when it is separated, CND, taking it to them, for them to press? Can we talk to them about rather than taking it to Western New York?
Operationally, it'd be difficult for me. I could probably do it by building another building, but right now it's going to the sitting floor and everything gets mixed together, and I don't have the floor space to start separating everything as it is sometimes.
What do they charge for a ton of CND?
Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So what's interesting though is I was looking through our records at the agency, and maybe you might know something about this data. I found an old set of plans that shows plans, a CND processing facility that was going to be in back, back where the MRF was. You know anything? I don't know. You might know something about it. I didn't know anything about it. I was like, what is this? It's a CND processing facility.
That was part of a plan. It was not part of the basic plan, but it was discussed. And for a while, they were using a corner of the tipping floor to pull out CND.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, where it was going, but even when the Packers were there and everything, there was still a corner where they were actually pulling out CND. And I don't remember the details of that, but, you know, I think these are all things that we can't take every meeting here to do that, but if there's a group that has
the commission up and running.
Yeah.
Right.
And start to address, you know, but I think it was wise to keep CND and the metals and the recyclables out initially. I also, you know, just want to say, to me, one of the main reasons to grant the agency flow control is it reduces the need for a net service fee, but it also means that if we're going to invest in a landfill, there's a source of revenue to pay for the landfill. That was one of the big selling points for me, because I was kind of on the fence about whether the agency should restore flow control and all these different categories of stuff. But, just the waste of money and fuel to ship the waste out. There is no way to safely build a landfill without being guaranteed that you can pay for it. So that was...
Anyway,
any further discussions now? Okay, thank you. Okay. Can I just ask one thing? Do you guys have any opinion on the styrofoam bills for the year?
Was that?
Do you have any opinion on the styrofoam resolution for the year?
I'll just put
that to the we're not the first county to do this. I think
California just did it. The whole state.
The whole state.
I mean, it's something.
Well, there's two different versions out here, too.
I think it's a good idea. I think it
has one from the executive's office and one thing from my side.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know a lot about that.
Yeah, well, we're going to sit down. Oh,
getting back to business. We have the three resolutions that I would propose that we postpone to one of the two next meetings. Rich, you missed that, but I'd be reaching out to everyone. We're going to set two meetings in November. One, Ken and Amanda are going to be back, and they were here, and I gave you the packet of the EIC information. Not the EIC information. The REC information.
The what?
The REC information that we've been asking about. Did you pass it down, Amanda?
Yeah, I did. And if you want, after I'll go over.
Okay, well, here's just a, can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
And then we'll... While I just glanced at it quickly,
mm-hmm.
This is usage. We ask for costs. There's no cost in here. This is usage. No matter who you buy your energy from, the usage is the same. Short speak.
Right.
We were asking for a cost-benefit analysis or prices. There's no, I haven't seen a dollar in here. This is just kilowatt usage.
I will ask for cost usage.
Because that was the whole idea of the press release. It was only going to cost us a few dollars more. But you
need to No, you need to understand REX. Okay, so REX, and stop me if I'm telling you something you already know, and stop anyone else, stop me if I'm saying it wrong. But REX are where we purchase someone else. We purchase credits for someone else makes the energy in a green way. So it's always over and above. So
the cost is over and above.
As an absolute, we still pay the full cost of our energy. And then on top of the full cost of our energy, we're paying $7,000 for 6 months, and then $7,500 for 6 months, and then $15,000 for the following year, on top of the cost of our energy to offset the negative energy impact that we're having. We're paying for someone else to offset it in a positive impact. It's like those wacky vote trades that people were doing.
What I thought was that the county purchased green energy, you know, whether it be solar energy or wind turbines or water turbines or whoever, we purchased it through that, and it was going to only increase our energy cost a certain amount.
That's somewhat correct, but what we purchased was the green credit. We still, if our annual bill, just to make it an even number, if our annual bill for our usage was $1 million, and it was 1 million kilowatt hours, which is totally not an accurate number, but we purchased RECs for green energy for 1 million kilowatt hours. Let's say those RECs cost us $20,000. That $20,000 just gets added to our $1 million that we're paying. It doesn't change our energy bill at all. It's we're offsetting the negative impact we're having on the environment by paying for a positive impact somewhere else.
Let me
just follow on, because what the press release did say and what we learned about today is that the charge was to have that cost, that additional cost, which RECs are just an additional cost, that be budget neutral. So when the executive made the announcement and the press release, he charged his departments with finding a way to make it budget neutral. And what we heard about tonight is Resolution 372, which we already passed and is going through three committees. And that is through a grant through Central Hudson, in part, county shares 40%. We are retrofitting all our exterior lights that we own, not municipally owned lights, our exterior lights that we own with LEDs, and that's going to cost $40,000, but it's an 18-month payback, and so after the 18-month payback, it's $50,000 annual savings and $380,000 and change. I don't have it right in front of me, but $380,000 kilowatt hour change. But the $50,000 annual change is paying for the RECs and then some.
Okay.
on an ongoing basis. The recs, our contract is only for 18 months, so I'm assuming that the executive's going to...
So basically, where is our energy being made, or how is it being made?
The same way it was being made before. When we buy these recs, they're not sending the energy to us.
Yep. That's true
to a degree. All the energy goes in the pipe, but what happens is it gives these guys money then to increase their capability. If 1,000 people said we want 100% of our money coming from wind turbines or renewable, those companies are going to get a lot more money. They're going to get paid that money for it, and then the fossil fuel people wouldn't get paid for it, just say for the sake of argument. So even though the fossil fuel people may be putting money into the pipe to come to our homes, and we're using that,
right?
But eventually they're not going to get paid because all of our money is saying, I want 100% of my money for electricity to go to wind energy. So Central Hudson's taking my money, and they're sending it to the wind company, the solar company, or the wind company. They're not sending it to the... Now, granted, I may be getting... Some of the energy I'm using is coming from fossil fuels because there's no way to divide it on the
lights
to go down. There's no way to divide it on the place. But eventually that place will say, Jesus Christ, nobody's buying fuel or energy from us anymore. I'm going out of business, so I'm only going to buy 500 pounds of coal this month.
I think it's a little different because, and you're going to have to stop me for a moment because you know more about this, but these recs, we bought 1.25 million or 12 million kilowatt hours on an annual basis for $14,000. I get our power bill is millions of dollars.
Well, I don't think
our recs are, and then you can see the contract. We bought it from Seattle, Washington. We're not getting, the power's not running on a line from Seattle, Washington. Have you ever heard of when you can buy carbon offset credits? Like very green people who, I'm going to be taking a commercial flight. I should talk about flights because I have a big carbon footprint with my recreational activities in my life. But I'm taking a commercial flight, and some people say, okay, I'm taking a commercial flight. They calculate what their impact and their emissions are, and then on top of whatever they pay for the ticket, they give $300 or $50 or $20 to carbon offset their impact for that trip. It doesn't mean that the plane isn't using the fuel. I mean, in the same way that we're still paying all our bills to Central Hudson.
Well, Central Hudson just delivers it. They don't make energy anymore.
But this does not change where we're getting our energy from, is my understanding. This is a credit.
But that makes no sense to me because it's not, it's like, the Central Hudson, other than in Lifton and a couple of small turbo, they've got a couple of small water power plants they keep on their own. Deregulation came, the Danskammer and Roaston plants down in Marlboro, they were Central Hudson owned, and when Governor Pataki deregulated it, the energy companies could no longer own them. They can only deliver, like Central Hudson, they don't give two squats that we buy our power from, because we're paying them $50 a month or $30 or $200, whatever we pay them a month to make sure if the tree falls on a line, the repairmen or women come out and fix it, to make sure the gas is delivered to your house. They no longer are in competition to sell anybody the fuel oil or to electricity. They used to all be in one, They needed to have both ends of it. So it's my understanding, or has been, but at my house, if I'm buying wind energy, because it doesn't come on your Central Hudson bill, but you can call them and say, I want to be 100% renewable. Instead of spending, say, 50 cents a kilowatt, it might cost me 80 cents a kilowatt now, but that's okay. But my money now doesn't go to the fuel oil company, it's going to the wind company.
I don't think that's a rec. Like, if you read this,
it may not be a rec, but I'm confused at what Ulster County did.
Yeah,
I thought we were buying 100% of our fuel renewable energy, and from there, it was only going to cost an extra $14,000 a year.
When I first heard the press release and I heard, oh, it's going to cost $14,000 a year or that number, I was dumbfounded because I thought, how can that be? But then when I realized it's a rec, I mean, if you read this...
I will read on it because I don't know what
it's sort of primer. It says, because recs are not tied to the physical delivery of electricity, they allow organizations to purchase power from
others.
So it's basically supporting green energy.
We're basically saying we're not going to be green, but we're going to give some money to another organization that's going to be green for other people.
Exactly.
Okay, and that's fine.
I mean, that's my understanding.
That's what they, much like jumping on an airplane and saying, well, I'm going to burn, I'm going to burn $5,000 of fossil fuels, because $100 to help somebody
else. Just like when you hear about, what is that in national politics? You hear about sort of the pollution credits that they propose in terms of training. That concept is,
so what we did was reduce the carbon, our carbon.
It requires some large thinking to imagine it offsetting, because we are supporting something green. It's the equivalent of
somebody else's backyard, not our backyard.
Right, but it doesn't reduce my personal imprint or our personal imprint. But for example, if I could afford to and was magnanimous and just said, here, you have a car that is 3 miles a gallon, and I'm going to buy you a brand new all-electric vehicle to someone somewhere else in Iowa. I have changed the imprint of the world.
But you're still driving a 3 gallon. So you could say, I don't really want to be part of it, but I got the money, so
I understand.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
No, I know, and I'm maybe I'm a little...
And I think that...
Do you understand what I'm saying, Anna?
Absolutely, and I have the same concern about Rex. It's a financing system. What we need to do is put the real infrastructure in place. This is okay for now, and it's a start in the right direction, and the fact that the LED lighting will actually reduce our footprint, and we're using that savings to pay for the RECs.
Okay.
It's the same thing as with the 4-megawatt solar system. We're leasing that system. We're not owning it.
Which is a proposal.
It's a proposal.
Right, which maybe we can have input on.
So yeah. But I would rather see us find a way to finance it so that we owned it.
What Man is referring to, just to back up because you weren't here for that, and what we're going to do, and that's this will all come back around. Okay, so what Man is, Ken and Amanda talked about an application to my service for 4 megawatts. Solar farm, that on the landfill, on the closed landfill.
Closed
landfill. In Ulster.
Town of Ulster, and also that's 3 megawatts, and one was going to be out at the college.
So a total of 4, which would be the biggest solar, they didn't say that tonight, but it would be the biggest solar installation in the county. And we did not get chosen for this round of NYSERDA funding, but they were advised to apply again, encouraged to apply again January 1st, which is encouraging to be encouraged to apply again. But in the initial discussion of what they were proposing, the proposal was through Mega, which is like those kinds of solar setups that you hear about where an organization puts the solar on and you're leasing it from them. You don't own the infrastructure, so you don't benefit in the same way long term. And so, one thing that we would want to know and look at, and you can recall when I was last here, when I put forward the solar RFPs, I think we'd be remiss to not look at funding a solar installation ourselves, because we're in a unique position.
The transfer stations, and it would help the RRA in the towns.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We can start.
I've been grabbing all the new jobs in the transfer station up there. It's like they're all over. It's amazing to see.
Then we generate the electricity and we get the rent. If you look at that diagram, where the money is going to pay for the clean energy, we would be eligible.
I'm starting to understand.
Okay, I've said the EPA is assessing all of our closed landfills.
The EPA, they did a study on all of our closed landfills for the potential of it. So that's exciting as well.
Yeah.
And I think also when you're looking at that, I will ask for the actual cost, because I think it's going to end up being shocking, because it's when you see that power analysis, just looking at the jail, I realize it's 24/7, but I know.
Why don't we put
you were
the
very
on the jail?
Well, that wasn't a proposal that I brought forward back then, but I know that you were very vocal about that building and that construction and the efficiency and lack of. Yeah. So now to see that it is, now that Golden Hill is no longer in our inventory, it is very nearing a half of all our energy in that one building, which is goes back to your quotes of the day. I can pull them out. I've actually been going through my files, which has been very interesting. I have all the old articles, but your quotes of the day talking about how that building will exceed its useful life, like we'll be paying for it long after its usual life.
That looks like we're
good. Oh, yeah. I mean, look at that. Yeah. So, okay, so to come back full circle,
resolutions, sorry.
I'm going to get to that. So, Ken and Amanda we're going to have two meetings next month. I need to do it, but these meetings they're bears. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to cover. Ken and Amanda are going to come and give, which I think is going to be helpful. They're going to brief us on all the environmental initiatives contained in the budget, because they're not readily apparent. You know, you can't just look for the budget and see where they are. You know, they're not flagged. So that would be, it would be helpful. I also think it will be helpful for this committee to know exactly what we're doing. Until 2 days ago, I didn't even know about the solar proposal, which is out there.
You know, they're doing this because we've been pushing them too.
Well,
ask them about the rejection letter from my server. I wonder if there's even one out there.
I don't know if they send rejection letters or if they just don't fund. I don't know if they only send.
No, see, you can get a letter saying you were not funded for the year.
Okay, but I think that we want to move in a spirit of, you know.
But I think some of the things that you've been doing have helped encourage them to.
And I'm hopeful that we can.
They seem to react to things.
I do know a little about this, and what I don't understand is, I don't know who this company is.
Oh, you're right.
And how does the money get from that company to the wind farm or the solar, you know?
We can look into that more, and that's right. You know, we have the information now. We've got the information, and I do want to reiterate on the record one more time that, which I have been reiterating each month, that the information, the lack of the information was my fault. Every time you reminded me every month, and I'd say, oh my gosh, I forgot to ask them. So when I did ask them, they got me the information. So I don't want to be upfront about that, because I told you that before, but I do want to say it on record. So in the meeting with, which we'll look at, as I'm figuring out the agendas, I think that in the meeting with Ken and Amanda, that meeting should be just about a budget update, because we're in the budget cycle, and the policy for the county-owned vehicles to use the alternative fuel sources. I started to do some research utilizing the chairman's resolution and the policy proposed by the executive's office, and I pulled up, which I will distribute to the committee, I pulled up a lot of sample policies from counties and cities across the country. Some are very aggressive. One thing that it got me thinking about it, I started to look at more of them, which I think I talked to you about briefly, Rich, I think it's great that we actually get a comprehensive policy down, because one of the things that's consistent is not just about dedicating sort of alternative sources, be they renewable or more cost efficient, but it's also about downsizing, right-sizing, eliminating. The most green thing you can do for your fleet is to eliminate vehicles permanently.
By horses.
We need to, Ken alerted me to the fact that the take-home vehicle, because it brought me back to the take-home vehicle policy again, and looking through my paperwork, I have all that supporting going back to working out with Charlie Busick, and I'm not sure whether the take-home vehicle policy is actually being followed or not. So Ken told me where on the computer, and I'll let Kristen know and everyone, and it'll be alerted through an email to everyone, but where you can look, because apparently the take-home vehicles are listed on the website. And so we can start there, and I'm going to try to meet with the fleet manager in advance of the next meeting, but potentially have the fleet manager at the next meeting too, and have everybody have a bunch of...
Can you get us a copy of the local resolution, the policy, take-home policy?
Yes, absolutely. I'll get you that policy, absolutely. And then I'm going to send you sample policies so that I don't want to inundate, but it'll be electronic, so you can kind of just flip through, and I'll also send you a couple resources so that if we can come to the next meeting, and this is very similar to the polystyrene foam laws, which I'm going to talk about next, in that it's a lot to do. It's really important work, but I think that it's going to, I'm optimistic that for November, potentially we can have both resolutions on the agenda passed for the city, but it's going to mean a lot of individual work, so we all come prepared, ready to talk and make changes and back through. And if it takes them a month, I'm fine. It's taking a month on both the vehicle and the
question.
Yes.
Did you see the justification for their refusal to support the police vehicles?
The thing that I forwarded you, the cost analysis?
Terrible justification. I don't have it in front of me, but it was...
I thought you were here.
I thought it was
pathetic. It wasn't exactly, I don't know if that was the justification for refusing.
Well, that's what we asked for.
No, what we asked for was their cost analysis. And the cost analysis, let me finish. Their cost analysis did show, and if I understood your point, I'll get through it. The cost analysis did show that, well, whoever did the chairman's analysis or the legislative analysis showed a 3-year payback or whatever, and theirs showed a 5-year payback. So it showed a longer. And then your response email, I don't know if you sent it to everyone or just me, but I think it was to all, said, if I'm missing this, it's still a payback, which is a good point. I think that, and we heard it more in that meeting last and in Mike's response letter, that the executive is responding to the idea of compressed natural gas and not wanting to support compressed natural gas, at least as a component of not supporting that program. I can tell you, and I will forward all this, but in my initial research, and again, it's a lot to take in. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of, you know, real hours reading. So I'm not even a portion of the way there. But where compressed natural gas seems to have the biggest role in communities across the country, and you hit the nail on the head with the garbage trucks in New York City.
Did you see that, sir?
Is in just the heavy transport vehicles.
Which we use.
That's something I think that's a place where I think we need to look at it. Not necessarily, it may not be that the vans are the most appropriate, and that's sort of what we need to. What?
I thought vans are included in that.
Well, it's not what's most common, because again, when you talk, because the one thing that we can argue is that compressed natural gas is another fossil fuel. Forget about the argument of fracking or not, it's just, it's not a renewable. And within the environmentalists, there's an argument that the switch to compressed natural gas is an industry-motivated switch, and we know that those prices are volatile too, and really, the way of the future, and it may be a long way future. I'd love it to be a 5-year away future, but it may be a 50-year away future. But the way of the future is not fossil fuels anymore.
No, but there's baby steps.
Yes, I agree.
Because the technology and the cost isn't there. You say we're just going to sit and do nothing for 50
years. Absolutely not.
You know what, Tony? We should just find 3 communities that have implemented policies, and let's call them up and say, how does it work?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to reinvent the wheel.
No.
If it works for 3 or 4 communities, find their policies and say, this is what we're doing.
And that's what our
goal is. We don't have to know the nuts and bolts of it. That's their job.
No, and you can see a lot of, in these policies, you can see a lot of, pretty quickly, you can see which ones are more aggressive. And some of the ones are, you know, the obvious communities you would expect, like when you're reading Seattle
policy. Is the largest user of CNG.
And you know what's interesting?
Which is amazing, which is the most progressive state in the nation.
I don't know if they're the largest user, that may be true, but what is also true,
they have most fracking.
They have no fracking, zero fracking in California.
Oh, I thought they did.
It's banned right now. Zero. Yes.
Natural gas that is from California wells. Maybe not fracking, but natural gas
they
wells.
They have no natural gas wells.
Well, getting natural gas is not only
but they fracking. But they don't get them. They don't get their natural gas. Look it up. There's a map from the fracking, you know, thing of which states, you know, New York is all clear, California is all clear. Yes, they use a lot of compressed natural gas, but they get it from nearby states.
Yeah.
which I thought was very interesting, and then the not in my backyard. So I will get as much information on...
We make this official by making a motion to postpone these.
Yeah, we're going to do that. And it's going to say, I mean, the postpone, it'll be the November meeting, because we won't know which one's which. So, it's similar. I'd like to just give an update on the polystyrene foam resolutions. I spoke with Amanda over the phone about them, and I subsequently met with Amanda about them. About both of them, because actually some of Amanda's feedback had more to do with the proposal that Mary and I did not submit, the other proposal in terms of the definition of composting, which we left the definition of composting in our proposal, but we don't really need it because it's not in the meat of the law itself. So, and another reason why I want to postpone these is any polystyrene foam regulation is going to necessitate a discussion with the Commissioner of Health. The sponsor of the other resolution said to me that that resolution doesn't specify the Commissioner of the Health, but I did reach out to the executive on it and the deputy executive and staff, and it's clear that any polystyrene regulation would be facilitated through the Commissioner of Health. So I want to have a meeting with the Commissioner, which I'm in the process of scheduling, in order to inform either or of these resolutions. So another thing I would ask is in preparation, and I'm still working on getting the price list, which is going to be critical, I think, to everybody's full understanding, not just about where the local differences might be marginal, but even where a difference might be more substantial, where you talk about two or three times the price, and Mary and I were talking about this just before, if it's a penny an item and it's three times more, that's a 3 cent difference on a takeout meal. So again, we have to keep all of it in perspective, and Mary and I need to be able to lay that out, again, for either proposal, for not only all the legislators, but for legislators' constituents who may be concerned about the law and its implementation. So it's more information that we need to get to everybody, but in the interim, I'd ask that if you can look closely at these two resolutions before next meeting and give feedback for us, that would be great, because...
I just have one thing to add, and that is a two-part thing.
Is it regarding these three resolutions?
Yeah, specifically. The Department of Health is the logical entity to educate and inform whichever law passes the restaurant. So they already have a role, and there was a caution that their department is pretty stretched, and they have a certain way that the sanitarians interact with the restaurant, and they said so they wouldn't be enforcing it, which raises to me the question, and it probably needs to be in either of the resolutions, who's responsible
they,
for
in
it?
In our resolution, they are enforcing.
They
and
are.
The other
oh, okay.
Too.
There's natural gas wells. The most, red is the third most. By state.
I definitely saw something different.
Well, fracking, I think you can get natural gas by other means.
But how?
Not just fracking. So they use a lot of natural gas. Maybe there's
not
a
Using it versus generating.
Is that using versus
No, that's generating.
So how are they getting it without fracking? What is the way you get it? Let's look at those other maps that probably show different.
Well, trying to get them. No, well, this is a...
It could be that they still have pockets that don't require...
I just Googled natural gas well.
Horizontal hydraulic.
So I think in terms of the enforcement, and this comes up a lot in my conversations internally within the county, is the idea of the... I'm going to just use the improper term, but the styrofoam police. And speaking not for Mary, but both of us, I mean, it was certainly never our intention that we'd be creating, and it still isn't, a whole separate branch of government to go out and police styrofoam. It's our expectation that there'll certainly be a period of education, and that's something we want to talk about on ours as well as, and I pretty soon I want to stop talking about ours or hers. I just want to start talking about the polystyrene foam regulation, and probably we're going to have to merge the two in some form, since I know the committee's open to something more broad than strictly the chain stores, but that's included. So for right now, though, it's expected that it's probably going to be after an education phase, and which is, will be long because the rollout is not going to be what it says here. You know, whether it's a rollout or an opening, it's going to be at least 6 months, probably to a year before, if it does get enacted, before it actually is enforced. Our expectation is that it's going to be based on complaints, that, you know, someone's going to walk out the door with a styrofoam clamshell, and someone like me or Mary is going to see it and say, Commissioner of Health, you know, we've got a violator. Can you write the notice to let them know of the policy that they should already know about? Because yeah, there's a process for warning. Can I entertain a motion to postpone all three of these resolutions to the November meeting? One or the other, I'll determine with agenda once we work out, but I'm pretty sure we're going to need two meetings in November. This is a two-hour meeting.
So move.
Okay.
I got a producing oil and gas wells in the United States.
Wait, let's deal with this for 1 second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so postponing those three to November. I'd say November, but it's not, because it's not like they're going to be October. It'll probably be very early. One will be early in November. You know, so I'm gonna in quick order run down some dates with Krista and then get it out to everybody so that we can get these.
Can we
cancel? First finish where we're at and then I'll come back. So these ones are going to be quick. So, okay, motion. Resolution number 348, adopting proposed law number 4 of 2014, a local law amending local law number 2 of 2006, a local law adopting tenant charter form of government, and amending local law number 10 of 2008, a local law adopting the Ministry of Health and County of Ulster, State of New York, to update the term of membership to the Environmental Council. Recall that Steve Noble was here months ago, talked about his membership, satisfied a lot of our concerns. This has been something that's been on our table for a long time. We had the public hearing, and it just slipped through my cracks. So here we are, and it's before us now. Entertain a motion for discussion.
Motion for the motion.
Second. Any discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
And just to remind everyone, this only amends the term of membership because there were some fixes. We couldn't make the fixes without stepping on the executive's toes. So somewhere that should be kept in notes for when there is a charter revision so that we actually can do it all at once, since it's mostly ministerial. But okay, so moving on. Resolution number 349, adopting proposed local law number 6 of 2014, a local law to establish a sustainable energy loan program in the County of Ulster. Nana and I have been reaching out to all the legislators. We still have some work to do. There's a couple outstanding questions. I think I have a sense that we have a good amount of support on both sides of the aisle. At the moment, I would say it's not unanimous, but we're getting closer. We did get a response from the comptroller's office. Everyone saw that. Kathy Nolan, he actually frequently asked questions. I forwarded that to B, and have not heard back of concern. So right now, we'd like to move it to the floor, and in the next week or so, as we continue to reach out to everyone, and I would ask that everyone, if anyone you feel inclined to call, if they have questions or concerns, have them call Nana or I. And if we need to postpone it, Nana and I will do that prior to
again, for floor, but I'm feeling like this may be the time. And we, I don't know if everybody knows, but Dutchess County is moving forward with this as well. So, I got next one. Or I got two of them. So here, so hopefully we can get there first. Okay, motion to discuss. I was going to do a second call. Motion
for discussion?
Second? Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Okay.
Great.
Here's a headline in LA Times. Hydraulic fracturing is widely used in California from 2012. Nationwide fracking is driving oil and natural gas boom. Hydraulic fracking has been used on thousands of wells in California, according to the Environmental Working Group.
I'll find out I'll send you what I've got. Yeah. I mean, I think that...
California is just under 50,000 oil and gas wells. It's the seventh most in the country.
What's more in Texas?
What?
What's more in?
250,000 Texas.
Okay. Have you ever seen them?
No.
I've flown over them a bunch. Right. I didn't know what they were for a long time. Until, like, it started to become popular culture. Just seeing, like, the flat fire plumes in the air, you know, with these chimneys. Mm-hmm. Like... because they're off-gassing or whatever, basically constantly. So you'll see like a beautiful, you know, green and then like rising out of no, with no apparent structures or buildings. It's pretty wild. Okay, so the proposed, we already did the proposed out of the commission question. Again, there's a lot of homework this month, but if everyone can really look at that, really give feedback and thought, Rich, I'll make the changes immediately in terms of the membership. But
well, I'm just thinking.
No, I think it's a great. I think it's a great. I had it right before I sent it off. I had a letter and I dumped it with the two at large. But and that was my thought with the two, was to allow some flexibility. One thing I would like to direct your attention to on the resolution is. In terms of the manner of appointment, so the if you look at the third resolve, which is page 3, the membership, we have the chair or designee, then to be consistent, the chair of way to means or designee, chair of our committee or designee, and then just representative of supervising students, representative of the city of Kingsman, representative of the board, the waste disposal representative. So the question is, in terms of the legislature representatives, how they get chosen is in this, if we decide to stick with this, is in this resolution. But the rest, the question is how do we have to specify that, for example, the representative from the Supervisors and Village Mayors Association is selected from the Village and Mayors Association? Do we have to specify that that's how that comes? No?
Let's say
that. Okay. And same thing, the city of Kingston. Well, it doesn't necessarily, because look, we, for example, when it gets down to solid waste disposal business representatives, how is that one going
to
be decided?
Those are going to have to be legislative appointments. But the other ones, I don't know if there's a way to make it clear, but the other ones...
All of these are going to be legislative appointments, but the question is...
Well, the nomination...
Yeah, where does the nomination process?
I think... For the ones that that are not specific entities, that has to come
okay, so
from.
Here's my thought to just put out there for you to think about. To change number 4, the representative of the Association of Town Supervisors or Village Mayors, do you want to make it to be the chair or designee?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with the representative from the City of Kingston, make it the mayor or designee? And the representative of the Resource Recovery Board, just to be consistent. Again, we don't have to do this, but think about it. Make it the chair or designee. And then we get down to those others, if we go 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, all to be nominated from this committee.
That's a way of structuring it.
So think about it. Because otherwise, I realize we do this all the time. I mean, to your point, Krista.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely
open-ended. It's definitely growing.
I think by adding that, what you're doing is you're ensuring that those positions, who's going to find those people, who are going to bring the foundation forward. And by putting what you're putting, you're making sure there's a structure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Versus if we just leave it as is, we can appoint someone from those organizations and send it to,
So so much misunderstanding because the language wasn't clear about the RRA that's kind of those appointments that we don't want to make that mistake again.
Okay.
Think
on that.
Okay. Does this sunset at all?
No, it has a time. It has to commit. Right?
It's kind of a report
within 1 year.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so moving through old business, climate smart debate.
I can take this hour if you don't mind. Should I just pass? Would you guys be okay with that and we'll catch up?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm
going to go to the managerial agreement tomorrow. I'm going to get Public Works talking about it.
Okay.
The
hydro
back.
Yes.
Okay, and then we'll update next month as well.
Yeah, I think when Trish and I will be in touch, maybe have a resolution if it's not resolved. And it's a third month now.
Okay, see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure there's just waiting.
Okay. Emerald Ash Borer, we are going to have, at the next meeting, it'll probably be the one that's our regularly scheduled day, which is another reason why we need a second meeting. We are going to have a meeting with Amanda. Jen is going to be there talking and representing from the Ulster County Task Force. We're going to work on getting someone from DEC and then someone from the Rainbow Tree people that that was recommended by the citizen who started this whole thing. And ideally, a representative from Soil and Water, Gary, should be there because one of the models that would talk about the possibility of utilizing a product in terms of collective buying would essentially have to go through Soil and Water. So a lot of moving pieces. We're going to try to keep it to the point. A lot's been done already, but that's where we're at with that right now.
Tracy, is there some reason, if you're bringing that many people together, it almost sounds to me like that ought to be a public information meeting. I don't want to, put a monkey wrench in the works.
I think that right now, I don't know how big a public information meeting, and I feel like we've got to get through it in this committee first to determine.
Just to clarify, public information meetings where you bring someone and there's no question.
Could we limit them to, a very brief statement, like no more than 3 to 5 minutes each, if there's going to be that many.
I'll work on it. One thing I also want you to think about with advance notice, Nana, is if maybe we could start that meeting earlier, November's regular, because it just would be helpful.
Okay.
This one time, because...
Is it okay with this?
Just hearing your story.
No, the November regularly scheduled meeting, I just asked Nana if we could start a little earlier, because we started later.
When is it? It's
like the 10th?
The 10th is Tuesday.
Monday.
I'm fine whatever you guys decide. It's tough for me. I'm going to be honest with you. For me, November, December, January, I coach the wrestling team. We practice 4:15 to 6:15, so it's hard for me to get in before 6:30.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's think about it though anyway, because if you're over.
But I don't want you to do anything for me. I can come by you.
I want to do it for you, but maybe, for example, if you see the agenda and you say, give me the update on the Emerald Ash Borer.
Right.
We're not taking an action on the Emerald Ash Borer. We're not taking an action, potentially. Pilgrim Pipeline is the next thing I'm going to tell you. That, our meeting tonight, because it was changed, conflicted with Jen Hester's board meeting. So Pilgrim Pipeline presentation is also going to be in November at one of those two meetings.
Okay.
Again, I don't think it's a long one, but everyone's been providing information. I'm going to have Krista resend it to you electronically just so that you can think about it. We went through the Renewable Energy REC. Recycling committee appointments. Do you have it? Everyone quickly can just.
Yeah,
sure. All right. So, if you look at that, you'll see the listing of the members of the Recycling Oversight Committee. So, what I'm going to ask that this committee authorize, that I'm going to ask for a motion to allow me to send out letters where applicable.
If you flip to the last page,
draft letter. There will be a draft letter, which will.
No,
we can tweak it tomorrow. I can just tweak it with Chris as well. But I'd like to send out letters to any applicable organization, supervisors, City of Kings, to the mayor, to we've got to the EMC, to the EMC, to maybe the commercial waste hauling industry. I'll talk to Kim and send it out to all the light controllers in the county. But we really have to start getting this reformed. Can I get a motion to approve sending a letter to start getting this moving? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any more discussion on anything?
I want to bookmark one thing. Go ahead, man. Did you want me to call you? Okay. Just the Kingston, so-called Kingston water bottling situation is bubbling up as an environmental issue, and I just know that it's going to come to us sooner or later because, there may be some impact of, Kingston certainly is trying to protect itself, and it is economic development, but there may be some hydrological impacts or whatever.
Can I ask a quick question on it, Joe? And I don't know if this is true, but I read somewhere when IBM was functioning, they used so many more times the water that this bottling plant should have been considering using when the IBM plants were in full.
Someone called me on this today, trying to, you brought it up, and then someone called me. It's not.
They want to have a brewery.
Brewery or is it bottling water? Literally.
In this case, it's bottling water, and the water would come from Cooper Lake.
I thought it was a brewery.
There is a brewery, but this is not a brewery. This is.
Where does the brewery want to go?
There's a brewery that's already taking water from Cooper Lake.
That's maybe one.
Yeah. And they're fine, and they're all approved, and it's a small amount, and it's a local brewery, and everybody's happy with that. This is a national company. It's second to Nestle in scale.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's out of Buffalo, right? I think Buffalo is one of their headquarters.
Yeah, I somebody told me, and it's in the paper and everything, yeah. And it's just not coming to me, but there's a lot of concern. I first heard about it, Clearwater. They wanted Clearwater to get involved, and I said, I just can't. I can't, keep me posted. And if there's something Clearwater specifically needs to do, but it's not directly a Hudson River issue, although we do also care about the watershed. But I just know that I'm getting dozens of calls.
I just got my first call today. My call wasn't actually, what's interesting is my call wasn't about the impacts to Cooper Lake or the water or the aquifer. My call was about potentially this committee taking action to... I'm going to paraphrase, but to vilify drinking bottled water. Like, to somehow require that the bottled water, there's some education component saying drinking bottled water is bad, not even...
You're not going to stop when people stop drinking bottled water.
I know, and you want to hear just a totally, I realize we're on tape, but a totally weird, and I think funny aside, is that I remember, as I'm sure we all do, being a kid where there was no such thing as bottled water, it didn't exist. And the first bottled water to hit the market in the U.S. really was Evian. And I remember my dad thinking it was the most ridiculous thing ever that you would buy water for so much money. It's like French water. And why are we buying water in a bottle? And there's a water fountain over there. And he said, you know what? They're just laughing at us. Evian is naive. And then meanwhile cut to, 1 billion bottles and everybody's got a bottle of water and I'm guilty of it too. Because I don't drink really any soda at all or anything else other than, a bottle of water. You're in a place where it's like I need it. I'm hard pressed to buy the, you know, the pure.
Then you go to a restaurant and drink water ahead of time. You're like, are you kidding me? Who drinks water? You're not home. You drink it out of the tap, but you go to a restaurant and they give you water before you eat.
I do though. I do.
No, I do too. But you mostly like most of the last time you had tap water other than your house.
Yeah.
I started carrying a glass bottle in the car because I read such terrible things about if you leave a plastic water bottle, and I refill them all the time, but I just stopped doing that because it's like, well, I'm not sure if the heater in my car in the winter or the sun in the summer is causing anything to be released, so I'm just...
And the only downside of glass is expensive, but okay, so we'll...
No, just know that it's coming.
What supposed to do, like you hear more...
Yeah, yeah, I, you know... If any, when people call me, I say, you know, call and get on the agenda. And if I need to, some of these issues will go into next year. I have a protocol question. Does the chairman reappoint every year or every 2 years?
Every year.
Or
every year we vote.
Every year. Every year.
Okay. All leadership positions.
All leadership. I can say all leadership.
All leadership. Because now this was the chairman's appointment. The committee. This committee was. The different committees.
Every committee's chairman's
That's what the committees
are. That's right. Yeah. Listen to this. You know how you get that compressed natural gas? This is where Mike is. Didn't know what he was talking about.
Well,
when I said I'm not changing one fuel to another.
Well, it's true.
Go ahead. Natural gas, most natural gas comes from three types of wells. Natural gas and condensate wells, oil wells, and coal vent methane wells. In 2003, California had over 1,200 natural gas and condensate wells operating. They import, and this is 03, they import about 85% of their natural gas, but they have, they produce their, like the seventh largest.
What is that one, what is that kind of well? What is it?
I didn't look at condensate. But oil wells, oil, you can get compressed natural gas from oil.
It's a byproduct of oil.
So what's the difference between burning oil and burning compressed natural gas if they come from the same thing?
Well, it's a small fraction of, I mean, as a byproduct, it's a small fraction.
That's like saying home heating oil is still comes from it all. It's all taken out of the fuel oil well.
Right. So but I mean, I think to that point, I mean, for me, it's not strictly about the fracking issue. It's about the non-renewable issue.
It will not get there. You're not going to go from here to here.
And for me, again, as I read and educate myself, it's about learning what the right thing for the job is. I mean, I don't know if you were on that committee with me, however, now it feels like forever ago, where we were talking. I remember having a meeting at Public Works, and we were trying to convince them to do the biodiesel 20. Were you?
I don't remember that.
And I'm pretty sure that the pilot didn't happen and that they were resistant, but that's a very viable source as well. I mean, and something again that we need to evaluate.
Well, if history's any indication, the legislature will vote it down, and then Michael put it in the budget. Like the community college, like the election costs, like how many other things does he tell people to vote no on, and then he puts it in the budget. When he says he's against it, he says, well, yes, he says, no, he's on it. No, he's going to put it in the budget or he's going to do it. It just needs to come from him. It can't come from anybody else.
Anyway, this budget cycle isn't over.
We can continue, but could I make a motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
All in favor? So I will be back.